Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
That wig might fall off.
Yeah,
that
story will not go away.
It will not. It's an
like
urban
a
legend.
Conspiracy theory, right? It's like Tupac is still alive. You know that Mason's wearing a rug.
By the way, Clinton Yates apparently. I didn't get to hear this, but Clinton Yates thinks I would be a really tough out on Fight Island, and I
got it.
I think everybody's sleeping on. Oh, you actually have that?
I got it. It's like a minute and a half.
Okay, go ahead and play that.
But if you were going to pick a person to fight on Fight Island from this radio station, who would you pick that you think you could absolutely beat, no questions asked, and who would be the person you'd want to stay away from?
Bergman, I would crush with two simple blows to the head. Very easily.
Bergman is
man,
also,
you're too thin. You're too thin. You're too
Bergman,
skinny.
You know, not about Bergman.
I was born and raised in D.C. in the 80s and 90s. I know how to fight, dog.
Clinton,
I understand that.
Here's about Bergman. He's got like postal worker crazy stuff, I think.
That's
you know
true.
What I'm
Bergman,
oh,
actually,
yeah.
in a, you know what? Actually, I might rescind that. In a
Thank
UFC
you.
Scenario, Bergman might not be the guy. Straight up boxing, perhaps.
Yes.
You'd frustrate him.
You'd frustrate him.
Funches, I think I could take now that
okay.
I think about it.
Funches?
I could probably take him. Okay,
who are you avoiding?
Who am I avoiding? Ooh, I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like Mace has some moves up his sleeve.
What?
That like people don't listen to me. He seems like the kind of guy that knows how to do one thing, which is like armbar you the hell out of nowhere. Like he doesn't have nine moves, but if he catches you in that one, you're finished. You know what
I'm
saying? That's the vibe I get from him in terms of like, oh, yeah, kind of a rope it up. Oh, guess what? Armbar. You want me to break your neck? You want me to break your arm? We can do that. I'm not going to pound. I'm not going to go ground the ground. He's not going to do
You
crazy
just
stuff.
Made Mason Steven Seagal. That's a huge upset.
He has that one, that's what I'm saying. That one calm move that all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, I've been doing all this nonsense. He caught me.
Mean streets of Toledo, Ohio, guys. Mean streets of Toledo, Ohio. We had a fight club on the at the trailer park, and I always prevailed.
Yeah, I think Keyshawn knocks you out in a flat second. There's no other way this thing ends without Key and LZ in the final. Everybody else is just talking. Bergman, you, Sedano, you're all windbags. It's Key and LZ in the final.
I notice you're not putting yourself out there at all.
Oh, God, I'm out in the first round.
I know.
I can't beat Key. I can't beat LZ.
You're Corona Del Mar soft.
Hey, I come from the mean streets of Newport Beach. I don't want to, my white pants, I do not want to get stains on my white pants, all right? Anybody who says it's not Key LZ in the final is just a windbag. You, Bergman, Sedano, Clinton Yates, blah, blah, blah. It's Key versus LZ in the final, and give me Keyshawn every day of the week. I think Key is the guy playing the NFL for 15 years.
Yeah, but he's got some age on him, man.
But so does LZ. It's not like any of us are in our 20s.
Key's got some age on him, man. I've seen some decline. I've seen some decline.
Right, but his decline is not. He would have to decline a lot to drop below me and you.
All right. A little bit earlier, we heard the Blake Snell. We heard from Mark Teixeira talking about Blake Snell, but we should probably reset this and play for you what Blake Snell said last night on Twitch. Which is a platform where you play video games and sort of ramble at the same time. Here's what Blake Snell said about the financial accommodations that would need to be made for baseball to return.
Y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making shit. And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. So now I got to play with that on top of that. So y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, no, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Okay, and that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher and the amount of money I'm making is way lower. Why would I think about doing that? To lose all of that money and then go play and then be on lockdown, not around my family, not around the people I love, and get paid way the hell less, and then the risk of injury runs every time I step on the field. It's just, it's not worth it. It's not. I love baseball to death. It's just not.
Okay, so see if this is a mitigating. And by the way, 877-710-ESPN on what Blake Snell is talking about there. A guy named Garbage. I don't know why you would make that your Twitter handle. Garbage.
It was a good band.
Tweets. He said it over his Twitch account. He wasn't preparing for a public speech about it. People need to chill. And there is something weird about the Twitch platform where you basically sit there and BS while you're playing video games. And okay, you don't necessarily anticipate that it's going to be recorded and then played nationally the next day.
No, right, so no. I disagree with that. Go
you,
on. Sorry,
you think
John, go
people
ahead.
Do anticipate that?
Well, I think that anybody who's a $10 million a year baseball player should be smart enough to know that in the world that we live in 2020, that, yeah, when you're playing video games with, you know, a famous baseball player, of course people are going to record it. Because if they have any interaction with you whatsoever, it's something that they're probably going to want to share with people. So I think that you need to be extremely stupid and completely have a lack of self-awareness for you to think that that's not going to be published somewhere. Like, that's completely ridiculous for anyone to use that defense.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we go to Mike from Los Alamitos? Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I just I think the pitcher is right on the money.
In what respect?
In all respects. I got like five good points. First of all, the main point you guys made was financial, and Ireland's point was, well, hey, these guys, the first responders still get to go to work. The first responders are still making every penny of the money they thought they were going to be making. Secondly, they're probably working overtime, so they're making more money than they ever were. Second point, you mocked him about risking his life. Okay, so he may not die, he may suffer. How much suffering are you, of other people are you guys willing to take so you can have your baseball? Thirdly, it's the billionaires that are going to make money. The peanut vendor, parking lot attendant, mom and pop grocery store a mile from the stadium, they're not making any money if we return to games. Only billionaires are making money. I think you guys' point is completely selfish, and I'm tired of billionaires making money off the backs and lives of minorities.
All right, so Mike, would you shut the season down?
I'm not risking to have anyone suffer or die for my pleasure of watching baseball.
Yeah, so here's where I will agree with you. I don't think Blake Snell should play. I think if he is that uncomfortable and he doesn't think that the financial package that they've ended up at is a fair compensation for his risk, I absolutely agree with you that he should not have to play.
Then you shouldn't mock and berate him for it.
Well, I'm not mocking him. What I'm saying is he will never, ever, if I was his agent, I would tell him to either get out in front and explain his comments or be prepared to never get another big contract. Because this
Boo-hoo,
is the story.
He's an all-time billionaire. Boo-hoo.
Okay. Well, then if you want your career to be over at however old.
If you want this to be the way you're known, I don't understand why you would want this to be the way that you're known in the world.
Everyone else is working, is still making their money. You want this guy to go back to work for half pay or less so billionaires can make money. I'm not with it.
All right, but
wait a minute. They're also, you're not making, I think the fact that you're saying like half pay and this and that, like that's just one of the things on the table. remember that they already, the players already agreed to a set amount, and they may, if they cancel the season, then they don't play. Like, they're already making a generous amount of money for never showing up and never having to play at all.
Hey, Mike, are you still there?
I am.
Okay, so the agreement that they're trying to get the players to take is that for 1 year, this year, they would take all of the money that they make, whatever they make it from, okay, whether they make it, most of it's going to be TV money, because this is just going to be a glorified TV show, because as you pointed out, the vendors, the parking people, the people around the stadium are not part of this equation. It's just basically players playing for TV money. They've come to an agreement. Right. So they've come to an agreement that for this year only, for 2020 only, they'll split the pot 50-50. Why is that unfair?
Well, I think he negotiated his contract in good faith. He makes so much per game, per month, per season. I think he should make it.
But don't you think extraordinary times call for extraordinary decisions?
It's about losing money till they're on their last billion. When you're on your last billion, yeah, you could worry about losing money.
Okay, well, Captain 50 Million doesn't need to play.
Yeah, and I don't think he should, by the way. Thank you, Mike, for the phone call.
And you know what's funny is we've been told that. We've been told, you know, you should only have to do what's within your comfort level. If you don't want to, for example, come back to the office, you stay at home. You do what's comfortable. If what's comfortable for Blake Snell is drawing no check, not getting paid anything, and staying at home, I think he should be entitled to do that.
And I'm not but so sure.
No one's going to force him to play.
If I own the team, I'm not sure I want him. I mean, just take the year off. The Rays aren't going to the playoffs anyway, probably. You know, they could surprise. They do every once in a while. That Tampa team is overachieves almost every year. But and he's their best pitcher. But, you know, you can tell his head's not in the right place. He feels that the risk is not worth what we're asking him to do. I think that it's better if he just takes the year off. For all parties, for him, for me, for everybody. And then to go back to Mike's point, Mike from Los Alamitos, he's not putting his health at risk in any way. I agree with Mike in that regard. I don't think that anybody, if they think they're putting their health at a permanent risk to do their job, I don't think they should be required to do their job. But then
shouldn't
they don't
be forced.
Yeah, they don't get paid. You know, yep. That's the choice they make.
All right, more of your calls coming up next, 877-710-ESPN, Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. It is Thursday. We're getting through another week. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Blake Snell of the Tampa Rays sounding off on his Twitch account last night, saying he doesn't want to be put in jeopardy for less money than he's earned or less money he's been promised to pay, while greedy billionaires make all the money. Trevor Bauer, who's one of Lindsay's beloveds, right?
No, he's in Cincinnati now. They traded
him. Yeah, but I'm still
but you
a big
love
fan
Trevor
of
Bauer.
Him. I just think he's a great character.
Yes.
By the way, Trevor Bauer is a Southern California kid. He's from Santa Clarita, went to UCLA, and then pitched for the Indians and now the Reds. I think he also pitched for the D-backs.
And Trevor Bauer did an interview, I think did a podcast. Is that what it was?
Well, he actually has his own YouTube show.
Okay.
So he did this with his agent.
With his agent. And here's what he had to say about the idea of this financial arrangement that would be required for the return of Major League Baseball in July.
A lot of big leaguers are not millionaires. Like, people think that we're making all these millions of dollars, but as the last 10 years, the amount of veteran free agents in the league has dropped percentage-wise, and the amount of young players, 0-3 arbitration players,
who are on the minimum, are making.
And big league minimum is
about $550,000.
Okay, so let's just run that down real quick. So do some quick math. Let's say it's $550,000, right? Now we already agreed that we're going to take proration. So that's 82 games, so let's just call it half. So 275. Let me make sure I'm doing my math right. 275, all right? But then you're still in the top tax bracket. So that's not going away, so you're getting half of that goes to taxes. By the time you whittle this all down, let's say we get paid half, so now those people are making 275. Half of that, again, is gone to taxes.
Yeah.
So now you're at 137.5.
Yeah.
And then you haven't even paid for your housing in the home city. You haven't paid any fees, any agent fees, any financial advisor fees, anything like that. And maybe you have a family.
So here's the thing. He's talking about guys making the minimum. Right now in America, 36 million Americans are making the minimum, which is zero. They are unemployed. They have lost their jobs. It is so distasteful to hear a Major League Baseball player kind of talk about the difficulties of getting by on whatever it is they're getting by on when you've got the kind of money that Trevor Bauer does. It sounds wrong.
All right, I don't disagree with you that it sounds distasteful. I think that's a fair point. But let's take Bauer's argument just on its merits. If you're a player and you're in that boat, if you're the guy he just described, and you get down to, I think at the end he said you're making about 137, your agent fees and your financial advisor fees are not tax deductible, so let's just say that knocks 37 off, so you're making 100 grand, way more than other people. But he mentioned, let's say you're on the Yankees and you get sent to Florida. If you don't want to stay in the team hotel, if you want to rent a house, then you've got to pay for that. You got to pay to travel. If it becomes a point where you're not making, let's just say you're making minimal money, you're not making any money that's gonna change your life one way or the other, is it fair to ask whether it's right to take a health risk? In other words, if you use Trevor Bauer's math, and by the end of it, when you get down to the end, you're not making, you're just paying for your expenses.
So in other words, the 0 to 3 guys who are making 550.
Yeah, if you're breaking even, so it's not costing you money, but you're not really making money. You're just paying for, especially if you have a family and you're paying for your wife and your kids and you're paying for nannies and, you know, whatever you got to pay for to make your life work. Is it fair to ask that player to play in the time of the coronavirus? That was Mike and Los Alamitos' point, that is it fair to ask them to be a part of this? And my answer to that is we should leave it up to them.
If but a player isn't the comes alternative to, making zero, John?
Yeah.
Not only is it
the alternative, it's the reality.
Then try paying housing.
No,
then try paying nannies.
They're not even making zero because they actually already did get paid a certain amount, which I can look into how much it was. They actually all, in that agreement that they made back in March, they've already been paid an amount regardless of whether or not they play a single game. They have that money and
right.
They're keeping it.
And Mace, my argument would be that I recognize where you're going with this. You say, well, the alternative is, wouldn't you rather make $100,000 than make zero?
Yeah, just filing for unemployment.
I don't think I think most of these players are just sheltered at home. I don't think they're filing for unemployment. I think they're just hanging out at home.
Wait a minute, if you don't have a job, and like, for example, if these guys don't have jobs, then they're eligible to file for unemployment. They're
right.
able to get their whatever amount that you're entitled to under unemployment.
Right, but do you think if they don't play, you think Gavin Lux files for unemployment?
It's his right.
Right, I don't think he'll do it.
Would you do it?
No.
You wouldn't do it?
I wouldn't
file for it. You've been paying unemployment insurance your entire life. You've been paying for the insurance for the event that you don't actually, you lose your job. I would absolutely file for unemployment insurance.
Yeah,
that's what I've been paying all these years for. It's for a terrible moment when I happen to be out of work.
Yeah, I've made enough money in my life where I may have to eventually go to where you're going, but you're just going there earlier than me. At this point, I wouldn't need it yet. I have confidence that the economy is going to come back eventually, and I think I have enough money to hang on my own.
Are you going to pass for? Are you going to pass on Social Security?
I don't know.
You've been paying it your entire life.
I don't know. That's a good question.
You're not.
A lot of businesses got criticized. You were one of the people criticizing them for taking money from the government when they didn't need to, but it was their right.
Right, but
so
that's this is my money. I've been paying all these years unemployment insurance.
But
right.
Wait a minute.
So of course I'm going to file.
Well, listen to this amount. Through the end of May, this was from April 1st, so that would be through the end of May, MLB agreed to pay veteran players a little over 2% of their daily salaries for the next 60 days. Because of the delay. So people like Mike Trout, you know, he's going to make $200,000
yeah.
a day during the regular season. Okay. And so basically, like, veteran players are making like $4,000 a day based on their contracts.
Right. But don't you guys
think, end of May?
Don't you guys think the answer here is leave it up to the individual players? There are some guys who are just itching to play. It's in, like, we had Max Muncy on the other day. He sounded to me like he just wants to play. I could be wrong, but it sounded like he wants this to get resolved so he can have a camp to go to. He was out of baseball 3 years ago. He's been given a second lease on life. He wants to go into camp and play. Blake Snell sounds like a guy who doesn't want to play. Trevor Bauer sounds like a guy who's on the fence.
Yeah, and I think you make an interesting point. You cannot be, in this time, you can't be required to play. Like, for example, there was a point where Clayton Kershaw said, well, when this thing was a bubble plan, I don't want to be separated with my family. Well,
Mike Trout hinted at that.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, you should be allowed to opt out. And I don't think Major League Baseball, given the circumstances, can force you to play. If you don't feel safe, you don't have to play. And I think that would be the case with Blake Snell. He's making it pretty clear, although he makes the argument really based on finances. I you know what? If you have these concerns, to me, that's what the union's for. You don't have to air this stuff out publicly the
right,
way Blake Snell did and Trevor Bauer did.
Well, and the way, well, I thought Trevor's was a little more intellectual. You know, I was like, well, let's look at this from all sides. Blake, to me, seemed like a guy who only cares about himself. And maybe he's not. Maybe he's just a guy who had a bad day on Twitch, and I want to give him a chance that you know, I wouldn't want somebody judging me on my worst day. But I will say this about Blake Snell: if I was his agent, and I said this at the start of the show in the first hour, number one, I would say no more talking about finances publicly at all. Don't talk about money. You're coming off like a boob. And number two, let's walk this back. Let's say that you are very concerned about whether or not it's smart to play. You're weighing all these things, and it made you, in a candid moment on Twitch, say some things that probably would have been better kept to yourself, and I think people could understand that.
Yeah.
But if I were him, I would walk it back. I think that if he doesn't, he'll never get another endorsement. He will not be asked to – he won't get a shoe deal because nobody's going to want to touch him. And maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's got a $50 million contract and he doesn't care. But I wouldn't – like you said 10 minutes ago – I wouldn't want that to be what people remember me for. Because right now, if Blake Snell left the game, it's in the first paragraph of his Wikipedia page.
Yeah, yeah. All right, coming up next, more of your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN, 5 o'clock Fast Tracks coming up for you, 2, Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right, so Blake Snell,
was that
Trevor Bauer.
Unintended consequence, calling him
exactly. Both upset at this concept, this financial arrangement that Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association are attempting to work out, whereby baseball would return and players would make less than their full salaries, would make some sort of revenue split with Major League Baseball owners. And by the way, we should, not that I've got sympathy for Major League Baseball owners, who are generally billionaires, who I think by rule are billionaires. They're going to lose a lot of money this year. They would just lose less if they play some games. In the case of Major League Baseball players, I think I've arrived at this conclusion. If Blake Snell doesn't want to play, if he doesn't feel safe, and we talked to Bob Nightingale yesterday, who says there's like a 100-page manual of all kinds of safety protocols. Here are the do's, here are the don'ts, here's how we handle if this happens, here's how we handle if that happens. I'm assuming that was done by scientists and medical people and all that stuff. But if Blake Snell doesn't still feel safe pitching, he probably shouldn't pitch. He also shouldn't have aired some of this stuff out on social media, which I think was a terrible mistake on his part.
Well, and, you know, maybe he doesn't care. Hey, Funch, is James from L.A. still on line 5?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, let's take him. Hey, James, you're on 710 ESPN. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I was listening to Snell's comments. I think it's despicable. I mean, I'm a clinical nurse. Just to hear he's making it all about the money. And, you know, being a nurse, working with in the front lines, patients every day, doctors. I mean, we had nurses we had to send home without pay. We have doctors whose hours we had to cut due to the volumes being so low with these stay-at-home orders. I mean, we have people that would switch places with him any moment just to work. People are out of work struggling. You have us on the front line taking care of patients. And he brings up the risk factor. I mean, I'm pretty sure, like you guys are saying, the Major League Baseball is going to have something in place to screen these players before each game. But then just don't play. Don't make it about your risk or the money. Just don't play. If you're scared.
Hey, James, first of all, thank you for being a first responder.
Thanks,
and
yeah,
for being a clinical nurse. Let me ask you, have you noticed that things are getting any better or any worse? Are you one of those people that's working every day, or do you go in two or three times a week, or what's your life like right now?
So, luckily, I'm going in every day, luckily. But I've had people I work with who we've had to send home and put on unemployment. So I can see both sides of it. I'm fortunate to still be working. But then the risk factor, we get patients every day. They walk in, we don't know what they got. If they have it, if they don't have it, we have to treat everybody accordingly. We don't have the PPE, like they said. You know, you turn on the news, they talk about PPEs coming, it's available. We don't have it. We have to use the same mask every day. We get one mask per day that we work. And sometimes if we have an N95, we have to hold that one until it falls apart. So the PPE isn't available. But we're still here. I mean, we signed up for the job. I mean, I'm going to nurse until I can't nurse anymore.
Good for you, man.
Things are starting to get a little better. Patients are, you know, we've had people that we know contracted coronavirus, but they recovered. And that's the best part about it. When you see people actually recover from it.
Well, God bless, man. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thanks, James.
Thanks.
All that, we still don't have enough masks.
Yeah. Charles from Fullerton on line one. Hey, Charles, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing?
Hey, good. How about yourself, guys?
All right, man.
We're hanging in there, man.
Hey, we all are, man. Especially, my wife, she's a first responder. She's a nurse. And the previous caller, I believe it was Mike from Los Alamitos, it just rolled off the wrong way, the way he said essential workers are still getting paid to go to work. Like, yeah, man, you can't compare a professional baseball player to a nurse, a doctor that's literally dealing with people that have the coronavirus. And those doctors, those nurses can bring that home to their kids, to their loved ones. And you just can't compare apples and oranges, man. Like, it doesn't go the same way. And it didn't sit well with me. The player Snell, if he doesn't want to play, I agree. You know, just don't play. But, you know, don't put it out there making it seem like it's all about the money.
Hey, Charles, how is your wife doing with all this stuff?
She's doing well. She's working anywhere between 5 to 7 days a week, 12 hours on the weekends. And it's tough. It takes a toll on her. I try to support her, you know, the best I can. Mainly emotionally, because it's draining. But you know, she's doing well. Luckily, she gets tested, and she hasn't tested positive for the virus. Right. So that's a good thing. But yeah, I mean, people just need to be a little more careful the way they word their statements.
Yeah, I hear you. Charles, do me a favor. Go ahead.
Does she see that it's getting any better, Charles?
She does. She on the weekend she's working mainly with homeless people that in downtown LA that, you know, are just getting tested every single time, and it's heartbreaking the story she tells me, because you see, I mean, little kids also that are homeless, and it's very heartbreaking. But overall, you know, she's been telling me that it has been getting a little better. Tests have been coming more negative than positive, so that's been a good sign.
Hey, Charles, do us a favor. First of all, thank you for taking the time to call in. And do us a favor and thank your wife for us, would you please?
We'll do, guys. We'll do
it. All right, man. Thank
you guys also. You guys are a pleasure to listen to, and you guys keep our sanity.
Cool. Thanks, Charles. Glad we can help.
Yeah. Yeah, see, there's just a special place for people doing what she's doing. And,
yeah.
You know, doing what, you know, what that guy James from L.A. is doing. And you always wonder that when things like this happen, if we have this fiber and a group of people that are going to stand up, and you just see it every day with these people. And it gets back to, he said something, if Blake Snell doesn't want to play, I really, Mace, I'm serious. I mean, I'm very critical of his comments because I think that he perhaps ruined his career. But if he doesn't want to play, if that's actually how he feels, I have zero problem with him sitting out.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think you can make somebody to go. I don't think you can make anybody go into a workplace when they feel uncomfortable about working, or if they feel like it is a less than safe environment. And it may be that there are other guys. I mean, he made it about money. That was his mistake. If he'd made it only about safety, that would have been something different. But he was sort of doing a cost benefit analysis. Like if he was getting full salary, it would be worth it because he'd be taking a risk. But without full salary, he doesn't want to take the risk. That was his mistake. I mean, if he would have said, look, guys, I don't feel safe. I'm not going to pitch this year. I don't buy that they know what they're doing scientifically, so I'm not pitching. But instead, it was
it would have played better. Yeah,
I'm not getting enough money, so I'm not willing to take the risk. That's where he made his mistake.
Hey, Funch, is Jerry from Compton still on line four?
No, he dropped.
Okay. It's a complicated issue because what Mark Teixeira said is true. The players have been told for years, distrust the owners. If they get a chance to screw you, they will.
Yep.
So when the public gets behind the owners and says, no, they're not trying to screw you. We just want baseball back. I can see why the players wouldn't believe it. But in this case, like Teixeira said, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And I actually think, Mace, that if the owners tried to, if the players agreed to come in under this plan and the owners tried to use it against them next year, when hopefully we're out of the pandemic and they said, nope, we're going to negotiate based on where we were in 2020, I think the public would crucify the owners.
Totally agree. Then it's a case of billionaires versus millionaires.
Right.
Clearly it's a case. And there, it's the billionaires optimistically using the pandemic to their advantage. I don't think they would be able to get away with it as far as the public goes if they tried to use what happens now during this extremely unusual, sad, dangerous time. If they were to use this COVID-19 as a way to screw the players next year, I don't think it would go over well with the public.
Not at all. And so I think that's one reason why the players, if they want to play, if they want to come in, I think can feel comfortable coming in. But there's going to be some guys that don't. And I guess we're going to find out what side of that issue Blake Snell's on if it comes to the point of, okay, you make zero, or you come in under the terms of this agreement that the players have agreed to, and we'll see what he does. But if he wants to sit it out, I have no problem with him.
Yeah, me either. I think he should sit it out. All right, coming up next, 877-710-ESPN. I wanted to ask you, John, about the list that the NBA, I checked that with ESPN, released of the top 10 greatest players of all time.
It's
it came
in the
out
wrong
yesterday.
Order. Yeah, the list is right, but it's in the wrong order.
We talked about it a little bit yesterday with Sliwa. Let's get into it next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. By the way, last night I was on the Kamenetsky Brothers late night happy hour. It was very late. John, you know I go to sleep pretty early. It was 10 to 11 o'clock last night. We talked some Better Call Saul. I gave a little tour of my house. I showed off my Bob Miller Awards, all kinds of stuff.
Just
retweeted out a link to it. Those guys, boy, I'll tell you what, those Kamenetskys work hard. They are out there working hard.
I think Lindsay's going to reach out to get Brian on the show tomorrow. Now, Brian may have a previous engagement, and if that's the case, we'll just ask for Ethan.
Yes,
yeah, Ethan's got like a whole booker and a process with requests and stuff.
It doesn't surprise me.
Ethan as a person now? Go figure.
He does.
Go figure.
You knew it wouldn't take long.
All right, so yesterday ESPN released, and we'll tell you that if in this segment you're a great call, 877-710-ESPN, you will win a copy of MLB The Show for this year. ESPN's top 10 NBA players of all time. That list was released yesterday. And the order goes Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Russell, Magic, Wilt, Bird, Duncan, Kobe, Shaq. That is the order of things. 877-710-ESPN. John, what do you think of the order?
Kobe is too low. Kobe's ninth on that list. Like, for example, give me the argument why Larry Bird over Kobe.
Yeah, there's not a good one.
Why Larry Bird over Duncan?
Yeah, good. It's a very good point. Duncan, more rings.
I think the first six is pretty good, although LeBron, I guess his book isn't finished yet, so he could pass Jordan. But it, like, if he leads the Lakers to a title, LeBron would be the only player ever, the only player on that list to lead, to be the best player on three different championship teams, which would be pretty amazing. Kareem was the best player on two. But it would be pretty amazing if LeBron led the Lakers. So, but for now, I'll say Jordan 1, LeBron 2. I agree with Kareem 3. You actually could make the argument that Kareem could be 1 or 2, but I'll live with Kareem at 3.
Yep.
Who'd you say was 4 before Magic?
Russell.
Yeah, too much dominance. That's fine. Magic's good at 5. Wilt's good at 6. I would put, although I might put Kobe at 6.
I would put Kobe at 6.
I might put Kobe ahead of Wilt. But either way, Kobe and Wilt are 6-7. Duncan is 8. If you want to put Bird, 9. And who's 10 now?
Shaq. Shaq should be higher.
Who are you moving down?
My order would be Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Russell, Magic, Kobe, Wilt, Shaq, Duncan, Bird.
Okay, why Duncan has 5 titles, Shaq has 4. Duncan has 2 MVPs, Shaq
well, okay,
has
so
1.
Well, okay, so here's the question. This is my understanding. Like, for example, on this list, Giannis is number 15. Now, Giannis doesn't have the resume. Obviously, doesn't
Wait,
have any...
Wait, did you say 15?
Yeah, doesn't have any rings.
Wait a minute, Giannis can't be 15. Are you sure?
Yeah,
I think he's in the 20s, Steve.
Yeah.
Is he in the 20s?
Yeah, he can't be
15. I think he's 25.
Yeah, that would... in the 20s, at least. There's no way you can put Giannis ahead of Olajuwon.
But here's my question. Are we talking about resumes, because that's one thing, or are we talking about just style of game? Just who they were as a player. That's what I want to know. And it's not laid out in that way or with that explanation. Because if strictly based on rings, well, you can just order them up based on how many rings they have. Why wouldn't you just do that if we were doing it strictly on resumes? LeBron should be lower. He's only got 3.
Right, and Russell would be number 1.
And Russell would be number 1 because he's got the most. If it was strictly based on rings, then I think that would be a different scenario.
Right, he's 27.
27,
Giannis,
okay.
Giannis 27, that sounds more right. Okay, so here's a way, and tell me if this changes, because it does change my list. Here's the new prerequisite.
Okay.
We're playing, everybody's in their prime, okay?
Yep.
We're playing a pickup game, draft for the pickup game, so you can get anybody. Jordan, still number 1. LeBron, still number 2, right?
Correct.
Kareem or Wilt, 3? Kareem,
well,
for me.
I'm a little bit biased here because Shaq just won me that NBA 2K tournament.
You'd put Shaq ahead of Kobe?
I would put Shaq.
I think I'm putting Kobe 4.
You're putting Kobe 4.
Yeah.
So you go Jordan, I go LeBron. You go
Kareem.
Okay, I go Kobe.
You put Kobe and Shaq ahead of Kareem?
No. We're doing a draft right now. You go Jordan.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You go Jordan, I do LeBron.
Okay, I'll take Kareem.
And I'll take Kobe.
Then I'll take Shaq.
Then I'll take Russell.
Then we both just drafted 2 centers. Can I go off the board now? Can I go down below the 10? I can take anybody I want, right?
Yeah, sure.
So I can take like Oscar Robertson?
Yes, you can.
I think I would consider that. Who are the other guys that we're leaving out now? I'll take Magic.
Oh, yeah, Magic is still on. Boy, Magic lasted a long time on that board. Magic lasted a long time.
Somebody to throw the ball to all those big guys.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
You know what's amazing is how many Lakers have already gone.
Oh, the incredible thing is, I mean, if you look at it, there's LeBron, there's Magic, there's Kobe, and there's Shaq. 4 of the top 10.
Hey, pick a number, 1, 2, 3, or 5.
3.
Gil from Canoga. Hey, Gil.
Hey. Gil,
hey, Gil, you're on 710 ESPN. What's going on, man?
Yeah, so if we're just going off purely on stats and what you guys are saying about the draft, like, I just have an issue with Russell being up there. I know with all the rings he has, but just see, he averaged, I think, 15 or 16 points a game. Yeah, he had the 20 rebounds, which is not nothing, but if you're just going purely off skill and just dominance, like, shouldn't Shaq or Kareem be at least?
Well, did you notice that when we did the draft, we each took 4 players and neither one of us took Russell?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, just the ranking itself isn't too great in explaining what they're looking for. But yeah, I just agree with you guys. All right, thanks.
Oh, hey, Gil. Did he hang up?
Did we lose Gil?
He hung up.
I was going to give him a copy of MLB The Show. So that means we have to give it to someone else, Mace. Who do you want to give it to?
Let's give it to caller number 2.
Pastor from Ontario. Hey, Pastor.
How's it going, everybody? Good to talk to you again, Steve and John. Steve, I've had a couple sit-down meetings with you. I've shared several texts with you. So needless to say, I'm sure you're clueless on who I am.
But I'm sure that I really enjoyed both of our sit-downs and our text messages.
That's okay. I understand, my brother. And I'm going to, before we talk about this list that's really messed up, I want to pose just a real quick question, and I'm going to use the John Ireland Tools of Sports Talk Radio.
Okay.
Am I nuts, or should Adam Silver be running more than just the NBA? He seems to be in front of everything. He seems to. I feel this world is undervaluing his
skill set,
intelligence, his forethought. Yeah, I think he should be running more than the NBA, even though obviously I love sports. But back to this list. One of the reasons why the list is so messed up, it does not take context into account. John, if I'm not mistaken, were not all of those championships that the Lakers won, even with Shaq, determined in the Western Conference? Was not the Western Conference the issue getting out of when we had to go against the Spurs, when we had to go against Sacramento?
Yeah, matter of fact, Pastor, it's a good point. They, in the finals, they beat the Pacers. They never even went 7 games in the finals during the three-peat. They went 6 games against the Pacers. They swept they beat the Sixers in 5, and they swept the Nets. So that's a good point. The tougher games were against Sacramento and San Antonio.
And if you go back and look at Kobe's numbers, not to mention Karl Malone should have been closer on the list, and Hakeem Olajuwon should have been further on the list. But if you were to go back and look at Kobe's numbers during the Western Conference, when the Western Conference was dominating the East, you will see he had a deeper impact and influence than Shaq. And one of the things that really frustrates me about Kobe, his passing was drastically underestimated. Before LeBron James, if I'm not mistaken, Kobe, other than any other point guard, Kobe led all of NBA in non-point guard assists. So we really need to go back and look at his assist numbers and take a look at his passing ability. He was a phenomenal passer. And if Jordan gets so much credit for being the GOAT, which I'm not going to argue that, but Jordan himself said that Kobe is the only one that could potentially beat him because he stole his moves. And we already know Kobe Bryant is a much better three-point shooter than Jordan was, and he developed a better left-handed shot. But not to mention, sorry, fellas, talking a little too much.
No. Your argument is solid, Pastor.
Yeah, no, it's a good argument.
And just for that, we're giving you a copy of MLB The Show.
No, that's thank you. I appreciate it, fellas. But also, if you, again, back into context, the Bulls team was so good that those Knicks that they lost to in 7 games made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. What that meant was Jordan was surrounded by great Hall of Fame players. And I don't think Kobe gets the he was never surrounded with the players, especially after Shaq was gone, that Jordan was surrounded by. Not to mention that, look at that Boston team that he went seven games in the finals against and beat. He, if I'm not mistaken, at least three of those individuals are going to be Hall of Famers. We have Kevin Garnett. The only reason he was not the best player in the league during that time is because Kobe was in the league. But after Kobe, during that time, he was probably the second best basketball player behind, if you want to put Shaq in there, you can do that as well. But yep. They had Ray Allen, they had Paul Pierce. They had Hall of Fame players, and Kobe went against them, and they won. Even though his shooting percentage was not where it needed to be, he did everything else he needed to do to win it. And I'm sure you guys have heard enough of me, your listeners.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second, Pastor. It dawns on me that your name is Pastor Wallace.
Oh, see, now you're snitching on me.
All right, hang on, man. Funches will get your info. Thank you for calling
Thanks,
in.
Fellas.
Stay
Good
safe.
Talking to you. All right.
Yeah, it just came to me. Yes, I have had a couple of sit-downs with Pastor Wallace. All right, so gamers, MLB The Show 20 is what baseball dreams are made of, and it is out now. Pastor Wallace just got one there. Here's how you win a copy of MLB The Show 20 on PS4. Just like Pastor Wallace did, keep listening. MLB The Show 20, get your copy now at theshow.com. Coming up next for you is 5 o'clock Fast Track, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.